How close is Coruscant to that freaking planet?
2 minutes.
How close?
Two
because,
minutes.
Dude, they literally, they could order pizza from Coruscant and have it delivered to Brennock or Brendock or Mardok. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all your favorite podcast apps, like, you know, Google, Spotify, Apple, things like that. Maybe they're not your favorite. Maybe they're just what you use. Please do follow us on said app. Subscribe here on the Genreverse YouTube channel if you're watching there. Lots of great content. A lot of anime reviews, reactions, general geek pop culture stuff, live streams coming. I actually just got a brand new pair of nippers, and I'm going to hopefully this weekend be doing a live stream of putting together a Mega Man X plastic model kit that I got from Kotobukiya at AX Anime Expo, which you guys can see some of those videos here on the channel. We do have some merch for the Genreverse. Check that out. Link down below. And, of course, LRMonline.com for all of your entertainment news, needs, opinions, celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel and more, including, hey, Cam has written up a season review for The Acolyte, which we will be talking about momentarily. Guys, how are we doing? I know last night or this morning might have been rough for some people. I know it was a little rough for me. How are you guys doing? Cam, how are you, bud?
Fine.
Shocky. How are you doing?
I think I'm happy that this is over with. Right?
God, yes.
Is it like like, this is the first time in a while that I'm just happy that a show is over with, that, like, you know, we don't have to worry about talking about this. I don't have to, you know, think about how could this go wrong anymore. I mean, it went wrong every way, which way, but I'm trying to look at the positive. That is, it's done. It's over. Now on to the next thing.
I've had to deal with that feeling at least four times out of the last. No, hold on. One. Two, three,
Acolyte, Ahsoka,
four, five.
Kenobi.
Five out of the last six I have had that
season
feeling.
Three? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what's
Boba,
the fifth?
Kenobi.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Season three of Mando, Ahsoka, and now this. With only Andor being the very last Star Wars thing that I can honestly say I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
There yeah, before parts... that, I enjoyed Mando Season 2 and Mando Season
yeah,
1.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And don't get me wrong, there were parts of Ahsoka, anything with Balin, Baylor,
yeah.
Bay, whatever the frick.
Balin's cool.
Anything with him
some
was
episodes
good.
Episodes of Ahsoka. There was some mm-hmm. decent episodes, just not enough.
Some decent fight choreography in The Acolyte.
Yeah.
That's about it. Everything else just about can get bent. And I guess what we can kind of do is go, you know, into general thoughts and feelings on The Acolyte itself. We'll try to keep these relatively short, and then we'll dig into them a bit more. So I'll start, and I'll say that this was one of the most disappointing shows ever. It delivered nothing of which it had promised or discussed or teased. We were supposed to get some dark side stuff, and instead we got, again, people trying to make the good guys bad guys, and the bad guys sympathetic or empathetic or whatever thetic you want to use. I like pathetic. And they failed miserably at it because they don't know how to write. They really don't. Not only do they not know how to write, they don't know how to write in a galaxy far, far away. That's what's being proven to me time and time again with a lot of these Disney shows. They don't know what to do. And it sucked. A lot of wasted potential, but not just wasted potential, but legitimately bad writing, bad acting, bad editing, bad production, bad CGI. Like, there's so many bad things in this. It's infuriating. It's legitimately infuriating to the point to where I don't want to watch Star Wars anymore. Like, I'm at the point now where it's Andor season 2 and then I might be done. Barring, say, saving one of you guys seeing the Mando and Grogu movie or the Rey New Jedi Order movie or even the Jedi origin story, which I don't want to see the origins of the Force, or origins of the Jedi Order itself. Barring you guys going, no, Kyle, absolutely, you will like this. Like, this is a slam dunk, home run, touchdown, whatever, goal. Like, barring that, I'm not seeing them. I'm done. I'm so fed up with garbage. Like I said, one show out of six where I haven't been like, oh, thank God it's over. And that's where I was with Marvel. When you know, phase four was finally wrapping up and five was just garbage too. The Acolyte gets an overall, I'd say this episode, maybe somewhere in the D plus C minus range, regardless of how many, C pluses. I don't even think I gave a B. Maybe there was one B in here.
I think the first episode you gave a B.
Yeah, regardless of the C's and D's, I think overall this is a failure of a show on so many levels because it failed to deliver, it failed to execute, it failed. So I do. I think this series is an F overall on so many levels. Shockey, how do you feel?
Yeah, well, I'm with you on it. I think the rest or majority of Star Wars community feels the same way because just by numbers alone, if you look at the streaming data, the Acolyte is the least watched show per minute, you know, overall of all the Disney Star Wars content that's out there. So, I mean, it's there with you. It really honestly feels like if you guys remember, you know, go back to high school days, having, say, a project, you had to do a presentation project on the Civil War, and you were given, you know, a teacher gives you a month to work on it, and there's always that one kid that you knew waited to the last minute to put it all together, and it's, you know, the topic of the Civil War, and they kind of flub their way through, and they say, oh, Abraham Lincoln, Emancipation Proclamation, and they think that they're going to get an A out of it because they mentioned those couple, you know, he turns there, and no, it like the teacher's just sitting there like this with the head over their face. Like, I gave you a month to work on this project, and this is the shit you turned in. And that's exactly what it was. It's also alarming that the director or the main actress has to do a weekly interview to explain how the show is going or think, you know, to answer questions because. And it's not like they're answering, you know, questions from people who are critics that are critical of the show. They're picking and choosing who they're going to interview with, and they're pretty fluff, you know, questions that they're getting. But they still have to, you know, we never got an answer for the Kylo Ren theme song. Remember, you know, why was the Kylo Ren theme song there? Oh, we can't really tell you, but it will come out later. You know, all these little things that Leslie Headland had to do in all these interviews. Oh, we've got a scenario for this. And then when it came to episode six, I think it was, she started saying, well, if we get a season two, we can answer those questions there and stuff. And it's like, no, this was poorly written. This was poorly put together. I think somebody I read on Twitter, I don't know if this is accurate stuff, but, you know, $180 million for The Acolyte.
Yeah,
for eight episodes.
It's an expensive show. Where's the money going?
Dune Part 2 was $190 million. And if you compare those two, you could see where the money went with Dune Part 2 versus I have no clue where the money went with The Acolyte. And if I'm Bob Iger, I'm pissed. You know, that much money to go to an eight-episode show for Star Wars that could have potentially had multiple seasons, right? You know, it was kind of like set it up like Mando. Where, hey, if it's done in one season, it's done in one season. But if it's good enough, we can go further. I don't see it. If they do approve a second season, there's no way you can give Leslie Headland the creative. She's got to be gone as a showrunner. They have to have somebody that has knowledge of Star Wars. This was definitely someone who read a couple, you know, Cliff Note books on Star Wars and try to put things
Let's not forget. And yes, guys, I'm trying to replace ear pads on my headphones, so I turned the volume up. I can hear Shockey fine. Let's not forget, she's the one that bragged about having someone on the writing staff that had never seen Star Wars until they got hired for the thing. And people were defending, like, well, you know, it's good to get an outside
That's fine.
Perspective.
That's fine.
Sure, yes. It can be, but you need someone that understands the mm-hmm. inside perspective as well. And just because you've seen
that's
it doesn't mean you get it.
Right. It's not like a military movie. You can kind of get away with doing a military movie with writers that maybe not have been in the military, but they can, while writing the movie, they can do some research on it. But this is something very different. You know, you're talking about a religion, right? You can't do a religious movie about Jesus Christ and have somebody writing the movie that's not, you know, in Christianity or studied Christianity, right? It doesn't make any sense. And that's what happened here. I don't have any ill will towards these people, but yeah.
Cam?
That's your opinion. Obviously, Leslie Headland says she's a massive fan and has watched all the movies and, you know, read a lot of the Ego stuff and the Legends stuff. So, you know, that's what she says. I don't know what the truth is, but it's just worth pointing that out.
Listen, I'm a massive fan too, but I have not read all the Legends. I have not read every single compendium book on Star Wars or anything. But I do know that there are some things that they got wrong from a general Star Wars fan could point out and stuff. And it just, was this trying to deliver to the mass audience? Maybe, you know, were they trying to do the sequel trilogy where they were kind of do a reset, reboom, you know, and try to get more fans from outside? Maybe, but it doesn't work. We've already seen that, you know, with the sequel trilogy, trying to get more fans into Star Wars. You know, you got a younger base and stuff out of it, but at what cost? How many fans did you lose out of that?
So cost?
You know, cost effect there and stuff. It's all in the economic terms of it. And so this was a financially for Disney Plus streaming service, Star Wars,
this was a loss.
Merchandise. You're not going to see anybody walking around with an Acolyte t-shirt. You're not going to see anybody thinking, I need to get an OSHA and May action figure and stuff like that. It was just a waste, right? Where does Star Wars make a lot
you
of
might
their
see
money?
Some people with Kimia on the ship, though.
Maybe, right?
He was a good character.
Without it, I agree with you. This show should have been about Kimia. This show 100% should have introduced this Kimia in the very beginning, and maybe the backstories with the Jedi chasing after him or whatever. But we should have seen Kimia and Plagueis, and that's
you'd have to hope that's if it did get a season two, that's where it would go. I'm not convinced it necessarily would. I get I don't think you two are either, but that's where it should go that's kind of what we thought we would get.
Cam, as to continue on, you know, let's get your thoughts on it.
Are you finished?
Oh, well, wait,
Shockey. Sorry.
Grade. Oh. Yeah.
For the season or for this episode?
Is it both-ish.
Okay. For this episode, D minus, only because of the lightsaber battle scenes were pretty cool and stuff. But the storyline was absolutely chaotic and didn't clear up anything that I had issues with. Overall, for the season, it's an F. I mean, this is put together last minute type project and trying to.
God, it feels so awful.
You hit a couple key points. You try to throw Ki-Adi-Mundi in there. You try to throw Darth Plagueis and Yoda and think that, okay, with those little cameos right there, that's going to be enough to get fans all excited. It didn't. You know, every single character besides Kamir is
because there was a lot of people. There was a lot of people on Twitter that were just like, "Oh my God, Plagueis was there! Plagueis was there!" And then the canon says, "Well, that's not canon." And remember the canon.
There isn't
whatever it needs.
But there is.
There
I
isn't
mean, we
canon.
Have to say there isn't a canon for Plagueis because
the books come out free sequel reset Disney
and all that sort of stuff.
But, and I don't care about birthdays and stuff.
They've actually stuck at least to the alien model that it's a mun and stuff like that, because some people would have freaked out if it wasn't a mun. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't care about the whole, you know, canon of birthdays and stuff like that. If you need to change, you know, how old somebody is, I'm fine with that and stuff. But to just throw those characters in there with
it
no real weight to it, like, there was no purpose of it. Like, if you take them out, they don't
have some lines. It was awful.
90%.
It's a tease for season two, isn't it? You know, and there was too much of that.
That's exactly one of the issues.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just go ahead, Cam.
So I gave the overall. I mean, I would have switched it off if it was an F by now. I couldn't, you know. I don't think I've ever reviewed.
I wanted to.
It was an F.
I wanted to. I didn't. I didn't want to. I don't want to be. I don't want to be here about this. I hated it.
It's like, just like totally unwatchable. Like, I don't get it. You know. I thought it was watchable. If I turned off my brain. If I pretended I wasn't particularly that into Star Wars and it was just any old average franchise, which it kind of is becoming, then you could kind of watch along and get some sort of sense of enjoyment out of it at some points. But there just wasn't enough for me there. I think I agree with mostly what you guys say. I'm just not quite as harsh. I thought I'll try and pick out some good things. I thought there were some good ideas. There was some good imagery. There was some good choreography. There was occasionally some decent dialogue here and there, but ultimately I thought the dialogue was pretty poor. Most of the characters just weren't very well drawn out. Like, I liked Kimia. I liked Indara a little bit, and I liked Saul. Like they seemed to have something about them, you know. There was something going on there. Everybody
Saul
else
a
just
visit
felt...
from what's that guy that the To Catch a Predator guy, Chris Hansen.
Oh yeah,
what was it, Chris? Episode 6 or 7, Saul needed a visit
episode
from
7.
Chris Hansen. It seemed.
Yeah. There was some vibes there which I didn't appreciate. I admit that. I did say that as well, but I think, you know, there's something interesting going on, at least, that you're kind of waiting to see what's going on. I think the rest of them were just felt like two cardboard cutout. Jackie was the most interesting of the red shirt Jedis, and she got killed quite quickly. Jord was terrible. The rest of them were just nameless, faceless people there to die by the hands of Kimir, or just be sent off to do random tasks by Vernestra. I thought Vernestra, I know you said the actress was poor. I just, it's the way everything's written for her. You know, it's all so stilted. I don't know. I would necessarily go and blame her. I just think it was a poorly
others
written
were
character.
Their
and you would expect to be seeing much more of her in season 2, given that there's clearly some ancient connection between her and Kimia. And yet, I'm like, nah, I don't want to see any more of her, really, to be honest.
Right.
You know, you know, it just didn't work for me. So yeah, but the main thing for me, and the one thing where I just can't see where it's going in season 2, is I just really don't like May/Osha. And it was so predictable what happened to Osha that, you know, we
I even asked if these
really
were the same person. Like I said that back in like our first or second review.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about like the one will switch here and the one will switch there. The whole mind wipe thing, I just thought was just weird.
God.
I was like, "That is that really how you're going to end this?" Like, you know,
and
I was kind
of
okay with it up to that point,
rule
and then
of two,
what
that they didn't even bring up again. They just jump into it and expecting everyone to follow it, but they don't give any other way out. It's like, do you really need to erase her whole mind? No,
no. She didn't want it. You know, it's. You know, why did she not just bugger off with him anyway, though? And then she could have went somewhere else. You know, there's a million possibilities that they could have did that that just weren't the stupid mind wipe. And it, to me, it's so that they can like start training her up as a Jedi or something like that because they think she's OSHA.
They immediately undo it all. You were with a dark Jedi and you have a sister out there. It's like, what was the freaking point of the of?
Carry on. I didn't understand why Kamir just didn't take both of them with him to the
because the rule speakers. Of two, the rule of two, Shockey, the rule of two, Shockey.
It could have been, but the problem was they could have just gone on a secret Sith planet. That's all they could have gone to.
Kamir seems to be interested in whatever was going on about them being created and that. Darth Plagueis may be interested in that. What we don't know was Darth Plagueis there spying on them? Did they not know he was there? Is he there because this is an apprentice of his? Or is he there as the new apprentice of his master? And he's there
looking too far into the old ones?
He is
the big master. He was Kamir's master. And the only real question is, whether or not Kamir is aware that he's sneaking around. That to me is the only question.
That's what I was thinking. Does Kamir know he's there? Why is he kind of? Because normally the masters not want to see their apprentice take on another person. Like Palpatine was never too happy with that. He let Dooku get away with it a wee bit during the war with Asajj.
But wasn't it?
Has a dozen of them. That's why the whole rule of two thing and the people that get bent out of shape on it. I'm like, even in your stories of Star Wars that you like, no one fucking follows it, which is fine. I'm not asking for a strict adherence to it. I like the way the EU explored that aspect of it. They will have an army of dark side users and people that are under them and stuff, but there will be two that are leading it because if you have more than two leading it, there's too much infighting. But people that are like, no, when two say that they're going to be the two, the whole galaxy of dark side users just go, okay, they called it first and leave it alone. That's why all that, oh, God, fuck you, George Lucas.
I don't know if he ever actually tried to say that was necessarily the case.
Fans run away with that. Because he wasn't clear.
Look at how many Darksiders turn up in Clone Wars. Just for a start.
How many Jedi survived Order 66.
Oppressed. Darth Maul comes back. Yeah, there's other Force users running about at this time. So overall, I thought it was watchable enough that I would give the season a C, but there was some episodes that fell below that. And a C's not... I mean, that's... It's not good to me. It's bleh. It's bang average, and it's probably the lowest I've rated any of the.
Since you're the highest, highest of the three of us, would you greenlight a season two?
Not that you're gonna fix one. Just will you greenlight it?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Greenlight their ideas.
It would depend on what they've given me with the ideas. I would need to see it. If I looked and went, actually, this is kind of going in the direction it should have went, you may win people back in a season two here, but you need to correct a lot of the mistakes for season one. I might consider it, but only through knowledge of having seen what the plan is, because there's ways this could go that's just not interesting enough, and dragging all this out a little bit further just wouldn't work for me. If this series really is going to work going forward, it has to focus on Kamir and OSHA, and May and whatever's happened with her has to be the secondary thing just going on in the background to set up some drama for a finale or something like that. We really need to see things for the Sith point of view.
What'd you give this episode, the finale episode, grade?
Probably a C-. To be honest. Okay. Just the resolution with the two twins annoyed me too much.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the fights, but I didn't like how suddenly Saul's more of a match for Kamir because it's the finale and you've got the two of them fighting against each other. I mean, Kamir's proved that he could take on multiple Jedi. He never had too much bother with Saul the first time around, and now Saul's, bringing on his Jean-Claude Van Damme all of a sudden.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
I mean, I get the idea.
I've not been a fan Ymir
didn't
of
want
any
to kill him. He wanted Osha to kill him. But that would have been better to toy with him a little bit and wait for Osha to turn up. You know, if that was what he was going to do, that would have been nicer for me.
The,
so, yeah,
you know,
C-.
For all the fight choreography, like positivity, there were several things that were negative. And I will say, after watching all of this, I don't think martial arts style fights with Jedi should be carried on ever again. Not only that, but never have one person playing two again where you choreograph the fights for that, because the Osha Mei hand-to-hand fight was some of the worst I've seen. It was horrible. The lighting and the distance of the camera, of course, had to be horrible. And it was garbage. So never do that again. And no more, like Shockey pointed out, even though it's not, most people recognize the style from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, even though it's existed before and
used
in many other things. That's for the audience. Don't do it again. I don't think it fits. I don't think it works. Other people within, sure, because you've got street brawlers in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, but Jedi are knights. And even though there will be other styles and stuff, when you think of knights and even what George Lucas and his mind had going on, motherfuckers with freaking swords in their hands, and that's what works best. And don't use that style. I don't think it works very well. But yeah, the Mei Osha fight was infuriatingly bad. Also, they are too reliant on the tube lighting now. There are times, especially between Sol and Khmer, where you can just see it's a tube. It almost doesn't even look like they really went in and did animation. There are times where it looks better and they put in more white and stuff like that, but they are too reliant on the lightsaber tubes these days. They need to learn to go back and do some old-fashioned animation over the freaking metal sticks. Mm-hmm. I like the light being cast naturally from them, but they're too reliant. And also, why are the hilts so damn thick?
Because of
the
tubes.
Stupid.
Now.
Yeah, but what's the difference between these tubes and the ones you were using in like the sequel trilogy, which look better? Like,
well, so Kylo Ren's is pretty thick. The Anakin one that Rey used and stuff was, oh god,
they don't look anywhere near.
Right,
as
no,
thick
so
as
they
these
went
do.
Correct, right, but what they had that I can't remember the exact terminology. But they couldn't use the same type of tubing style that like they used for Kylo Ren's and stuff. It was like a weird situation there. But they used enough money to CGI it all in and stuff. But now with the Disney Plus shows, they're going to use the bigger hilts so they can use the tubes because it's more cost effective.
It looks so dumb.
Oh, I agree with you.
It looks so freaking, especially with people with smaller hands too. Mm-hmm. It becomes even more noticeable because they don't even get a full grip around, dude. They'll have like this much space and it's like holding my water bottle. Mm-hmm. No, disappointing. Couple of other things that I found really disappointing. The chase through the rocks, that was really annoying because she's like, he'll never be dumb enough to follow me in here. And then they immediately have no issues with the rocks and space dust and the shit in the rings. Her ship has no issues with it. His ship has no issues with it.
And then for
so,
whatever reason,
that would
Basil
be depleting
switches.
Those shields, wouldn't it? Yeah, Basil
and Basil.
Right?
What
Basil
the
is such a bad
fuck
character.
With that rat.
Sorry. That rat that keeps running about in his stupid walk. And then he runs away off screen again, and then he keeps turning up. And why was he doing that to Saul? Because Saul stunned me.
Yeah,
who he knows is me, because he can smell the difference between me and Osha. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what about the little droid not spitting water?
Oh, Pip. Yeah, well, because it had
a
mind. Its memory was erased. Yeah, its memory was fully erased. She factory reset it, remember? May does.
Yeah, but so why is it going to spit her?
But Saul was able to fend
Basil
off.
Basil was terrible.
Saul was able to fend off a dark side user of Sith, whatever. But then when he's talking to May, she's able to electrocute him with the little, you know, droid or whatever, and it knocks him out or whatever. And stuff.
Here's
there was a lot of issues with that.
here's a couple of other really dumb moments from this episode. Venestra, whatever her freaking green lady says, she tells, you know, a couple of Jedi, you go search this giant fortress, you go something, and then everyone else go set a 5K perimeter. She says, go set a 5K perimeter, right? And then they cut to all of those that are supposed to be sitting a 5K perimeter, which you would think would mean 5 kilometers around.
Yeah. Right.
All of those people are walking together towards the same destination. They follow the damn rat.
That one.
And then also, May or Osha's choking soul, right? She's sitting there choking him. He's held in place, choking. And then when he dies and she's still choking, he falls, even though she's still holding at that moment. And that could be done to the editor and the sound editing and them not, you know, releasing the sound of choking.
It could
and
also
all that.
Just be her letting him fall kind of thing as she feels the life going from him. But it doesn't
look like she's letting go.
I had more issues with that bit.
It doesn't look like she's letting go at all.
Here's my issue with that bit. Why? When did this become something that you could use against another Force user? Because we've never really seen that before. Why did Vader just not Force choke like Obi-Wan Kenobi? Because I thought that was something that they could only really do to like non-Force users. People a bit powerful Jedi could be like,
they can fight back against it.
You ain't doing that to me. Yeah.
They can fight back against it.
What is this? I can't, you know.
The Emperor choked Force users all the time, and I just because we haven't seen it in live action, like a Jedi can fight against it. He should have been able to fight against it. But yeah, are they trying to say that this is the first time anyone's ever been Force choked?
Social media has said.
I saw that. Like people were wondering, does that mean because to kill a Jedi without using a weapon? I was like, you Force choke them, or you kinetically throw them off of a cliff.
People were predicting that she would Force choke him right from we first heard the kill the Jedi with it.
Yeah,
things people have been theorizing it'll be a Force choke.
They are trying to sit there and show this as the why would this be the 100 years before the Phantom Menace, and this is the first choke. No Force user in tens of thousands. Dozens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, if this was old EU stuff, no Force user has ever been like, you know what, we can lift these rocks, and that kind of uses, you know, like a squeezing thing with the Force to you know, hold the rock, and then we use the Force to lift it up. What if I squeezed on someone's neck?
Right.
What if I squeezed on their air pipe?
The same,
like, how was this not... That, oh, please.
And remember, this
I
is...
Don't think I don't think they're trying to say...
You
there's
don't
nothing
think
in the show
things.
That tries to say that this is the first time it's ever been used. They may come out and say that, you know, and then we would go... I would be like, fair enough, what you're saying, but...
I think there's a chance they're saying it. Because otherwise, why would that be a thing?
If they are, they are, but...
the phrase,
I just think
kill
it's
a
bit...
without a weapon.
It's about using an ability that's... normally considered by us all as a dark side ability, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Right,
that
so why would have May had any issues doing it? She was embracing the dark side at first, so
she
why
didn't
would
know
she...
it. Well, she turned away from it, didn't she? You know, I don't know why,
eventually,
but, you know, that
yeah,
doesn't, that
don't
doesn't
know
make
why.
Sense to me. What, she should be more angry with Saul than anybody else. She literally saw it happen, but she doesn't want to kill anymore or become a Sith because... Don't know why, just she changed her mind halfway through the show, and that was it. And suddenly Osha does, and it's like, yeah, you go and follow your dream now. I'm going to wipe my mind, and I'm just going to, I don't know, walk the world and get
so
into adventures and shit. I just really don't know what the hell they're playing at with it.
Here's one question that I really wanted to bring up to you guys, Yoda. Venestra goes, Master, we have something to talk about. Now... For a while now, and I know it was covered a little bit in some High Republic books, they've been trying to make Yoda out to be the whole reason the Jedi fall, which I honestly, I have some issues with. I get the general gist of he was the, you know, the one in charge, lived so long, became delusional, whatever. But when she says that, is she about to tell him what went down and Yoda's about to be a conspirator to hide things? Because if they're going to make him that corrupt, I think it goes against so much of what George set up with the character, did with the character, character did, even in the sequels. I think if they go down the route of him being part of the conspiracy, I think it ruins the character completely.
I don't think they will do that, though. I think it's just that she doesn't understand the situation. She thinks this is all going to be an old pupil. By the time this, if they ever did get a season two, which remains to be seen, then I would imagine that at some point Kimia does get killed. Do you know what I mean? And for as far as Venestra's concerned, that's that part over with. And there's no necessarily to connect them to the Sith, Darth Plagueis, or anything. I don't think Yoda is going to find out any information like that. And say, oh, the Sith are back. We need to keep it quiet.
Because they seem to have a hard-on for wanting to make him a bad guy. I don't think he needs to be a bad guy.
I'm with you on that, Kyle. Everything you hear from Leslie Headland, even Senator Ryan Court, David Harewood, who, you know, was introduced in this last episode as a senator wanting to do a independent review of the Jedi Council. It was everything the show is trying to make it out to be, is that the Jedi are secretly this, you know, bad organization that, you know, they're trying, like, this show was trying to set up how the Jedi are not as good as they're revered to be and stuff. And so that whole, like, thing at the very end, Master, we need to talk, was Venestra going to tell him everything, and he's, like, to your point, he's going to know it all and be a co-conspirator and how to cover all this stuff up. And then it just ruins the whole, this Skywalker, you know, storyline and
seeking Yoda and how
this is something
they have Yoda not actively involved. So one of the things that I've heard, because I've not read the books, that they do in the High Republic, depending the area, as they have Yoda, sometimes he just goes and basically holiday, you know, he retires for the Jedi Council for many years, goes off, does his own study, doesn't get involved in any way with the kind of running of the Jedi Council, and then eventually he'll maybe come back for a period of years again, you know, later on and stuff like that, because he's needed. So this could be, because it seemed as if she was like kind of get a hold of Master Yoda and she wasn't sure how she was going to get a hold of him and stuff like that. It could be that he's not at this moment in time actively one of the Jedi Council members, and that's why she was like finding it difficult to get a hold of him. But I would imagine, you know, she's already told the lie about Saul. And
how did she know the lie? That was my problem, is that how does she know the lie? Because so if you go to the flashback episode and Saul says, we're going to tell everybody the truth. And Dara is like, no, you're not. You're not going to tell anything. We're going to say this is what happened and go on from it. And we're going to live our lives the way it is. And so somehow Venestra is the only one that knows the secret outside the four of them.
Well, because for some reason, I never understood this either. When she stood in the place, she started getting all these force visions and she could hear all these things.
But she knew it already beforehand. Like, so she knew when, I think it's episode two or three, Saul was talking to her and stuff.
Maybe he confided into her off screen and they don't ever cover that, which they should have.
They should have. It was poor writing there.
That would have given something for Venestra to do that wasn't just walk here, give command, walk over here, give command. Don't like hyperspace. You know, it was so robotic.
Dude, my god, how close is Coruscant to that freaking planet?
2 minutes.
How close?
Two
because, minutes. Dude, they literally they could order pizza from Coruscant and have it delivered to Brennock or Brendock or Mardok.
Maybe
Modok,
they'll establish someone will write it that it's really close, but. Why would they make their planet so close to Coruscant? They wouldn't, you know.
Angry! Dude, it's literally, like, the beeper goes on, and, like, in the time that it takes to even gather all the knights that you can to come with me, there's no time. There's no time. They literally can teleport. What are you doing, Disney? It is a fucking cartoon now. No, I'm so angry. It is a cartoon. Okay, that is all Star Wars is now. It is a joke, and I'm sick and tired of it. It is disgustingly immature, and it takes the audience and thinks that none of us have any any freaking intelligence or care. And I know, I already mentioned this in previous episodes, that even the original trilogy was kind of wishy-washy with time and distance. But this was freaking blatantly bad, where literally the time it takes just to walk, the ship is getting there already with a buttload of Jedi Knights. There's no care whatsoever, and that's and I it sucks, man. It sucks because there used to be some care, even if I didn't like the direction of it, even if I didn't necessarily like the way it turned out, there was at least some sort of care to it. Now, literally, it all feels like this is the type of stuff that you don't question in a cartoon, but in something that already has established that, you know, there's time and distance and it does matter a little bit, and you just ignore it. It's frustrating. Right. I hate it.
No, I'm with you on it. This was very poorly worked on. Like I said earlier, this, for whatever reason, the team behind this, like, I don't necessarily blame the actors on this one. The actors did what they could. And as an actor, you're taking whatever job you can and stuff. And, you know, if I'm an up and coming actor trying to make it, I'm going to jump at anything Star Wars because that is going to be well watched. So all the actors and actresses are part of this, you know, the people I blame are, you know, the Leslie Headland, the writing team, you know, just putting something poorly, you know, written together and having to do interviews week after each episode to explain shit. Because even the fans of the show, listen, like I said before, if you like this show, great, more power to you. This is, you know, if it speaks to you, great and stuff. But there are more fans out there that were confused about this than anything else, you know, and didn't understand where it's going. And just like, oh, you got to wait for this, you got to wait for that. No, you have to watch the show, and then you got to watch interviews with Leslie Headland, you know, for her to explain what possibly, and things didn't ever work out. We didn't get it was all false advertising. We didn't get an origin story of the Sith. This was not a story about the Sith whatsoever. This was a story about a group of Jedi making a bad mistake and, you know, trying to cover it up for it.
What we had here was a failure to communicate.
Yep. I mean, you got it. You didn't get anything about the Sith. The Knights of Ren that they teased about, didn't get anything of that. All you got
have to wait.
No, I'm not displeased with it either, but you, when you're asked the question, what was it, episode 3, yeah. Hey, why did you put the Kylo Ren's theme at the end of that episode? And she says, you're going to have to wait and see. That is, the setting up is, okay, this is going to be connected to the Knights of Ren somehow. Now, I'm with you guys. I'm glad it didn't happen, because that would have been, I think, worse to go. But just say, don't worry about it. It's just coincidence. It's you know, whatever, you know. You're looking far into it. Like Dave Filoni does this a lot with the Clone Wars and stuff. I mean, and when, you know, kids or, you know, even fans would be like, what does this have to do? And he's like, you're looking too deep into it. It's just Star Wars, guys. There was points that were like, Filoni in his interviews would be like, we just like the sound of it, or we just like how this looked. That's it. That's all she had to say. But she's trying to defend herself and trying to save herself. This was poor. Like, this, somebody needs to be fired from Lucasfilm for this. That's the end all be all. Because if this was any corporation, if this
she's
going to
retire soon, okay, she's going to retire.
Right.
Soon.
Kathleen Kennedy, yes, but at the same time too, Pablo Hidalgo has been the Star Wars guy. There needs to go. I'm sorry, you cannot. If you're the Star Wars guy, you need to go. If you approve this, you know, like any other type of corporation, any type of business structure. If you delivered this type of product and it failed, people would be fired for it. Marketing teams, whatever. Like the Bud Light commercial, or what it was, a Bud Light advertising campaign, you know, and stuff like that.
But Dylan Mulvaney, heads rolled.
Yeah. People's heads rolled. That was a bad decision to make. And guess what? People's heads rolled. This needs to happen. And if to bring, I know that there's a group of Star Wars fans that like the Acolyte, but majority didn't. And majority are kind of in the same boat as you, Kyle, where they're kind of walking away from Star Wars, and that's bad business.
What's next? we've got one. This show was their WandaVision. A whole shit ton of promises, zero freaking delivery. Yeah. Although I still stand by, if anything had actually connected to WandaVision after it, WandaVision would have been good. Yeah, there was some issues with the final episode and stuff, but overall, it was well written, well acted, well executed. I really enjoyed it. But again, unanswered promises, questions, and a whole lot of nothing. Where was I going to go? You had just said something before I brought that up.
People talking about get fired.
Oh, people getting fired. No, I've lost my thought now.
You know what is crazy is that we got what Skeleton Crew.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. What's coming up next? Skeleton Crew is up next, and none of the three of us, which are all three of us, like some kid adventure stuff like Goonies, Monster Squad, Little Monsters, right? Especially me, I love that shit. I don't want to see that for Star Wars. We already had Ewoks movies, and that's what that was. I don't know if people remember, but that's what that was. I don't want to see it modern. I don't want to see it done in a modern way.
If it's marketed saying that this is a kid's show, like, hey, listen, adults, you got Acolyte, kids, you get Skeleton Crew, and if it's marketed that way, and if it's for kids, fine. Gosh,
I think it's I think
teenagers that think they're adults, but they're not really, have got Acolyte because it felt so young adult to me at times. Yeah. That's one of the issues.
It's a like YA novel.
It's totally in the YA shelf if that's written as a book for me. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Skeleton Crew, I'm imagining, is.
It's not going to be for us.
I have no interest. We're going to have a character that's literally the Max Rebo species, and I guarantee you they speak in perfect basic with nothing to indicate that they have a freaking trunk or whatever. It's going to be trash. We all know it's going to, and it didn't have to be, but even if it was done well, it is still not what we need in Star Wars. And then after that, maybe some movies. Andor season 2 eventually sometime next year. Mm-hmm. But after that, what do we got? You know, we're waiting on the movies. Grogu and Mandalorian, which after season 3, I don't give a shit. I don't want to see it. I don't. I freaking hated it now. Like, season 3 was such garbage. Again, cartoony. Freaking toony. Everything in Ahsoka that did not have Baylor, whatever, as part of it was freaking cartoony.
Well, it was Rebels season 4, whatever.
Yeah, there will be Ahsoka season 2, but I don't know if I'd be particularly looking forward to it because, you know, half of the story, like the story with Ahsoka, Sabine, Shin and Baylan, if it's just them in the other galaxy, you know, and you might be onto something interesting, you know, because that's where the interesting part of the story is. But I just really don't care what happens to Hera or Grand Admiral Thrawn or Ezra Bridger or anything like that back in the main place now. It feels like it should be something else or just appear in other things from time to time. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But
There's money sitting on the table to do something that would actually be done well, but you would have to actually hire good writers. There's money sitting on the table for certain shows. People would still love to see an actual criminal underground show.
Without a doubt.
And
yeah.
Not an empathetic down on their luck scoundrel that's just waiting for the chance to do the right thing and join the right side. No. Give us the Sopranos in Star Wars. Give us the bad guys to root for doing bad guy things. It's okay to do that. And then again, a Rogue Squadron series. I know people want movie. Screw that. Do a series. I'm serious. And you don't have to do the Rebellion era. Do exactly how we've said. Set it post Skywalker.
Save the budget for the big missions. You could have episodes that are just set in the barracks and stuff like that, and just character episodes.
That's training, what the X-Wing
training
stuff
in
was.
Simulators or something like that. Yes. You know, I don't know, whatever it is. Because
it's very similar
mission they need to do, you know, and they're training for it. They don't have to save all the money for the finale, Battlestar Galactica,
but Rogue Squadron. You
know? Very similar how Game of Thrones used to do did their last couple seasons, whenever they would save their budget for the dragon
episodes, and then they would have some episodes that would just be sets and people in rooms talking, you know. And sometimes those were the best episodes as well. That's the thing, and it's the same with House of the Dragon. They don't, you know, they that's one thing. Again, you look at House of the Dragon, it cost a little bit more than Acolyte to make, but not much. But look at what they're producing. They're producing eight like hour long episodes. Mm-hmm. That's a lot more footage than what has been put into the Acolyte.
Better writing,
and it looks $1 million because they spend the money in the right places. We need an outdoor shot here. This is one we need to get good costumes. We need good extras. This week we've just got a series of characters talking. We just need five sets and five or six different people in costumes, and that's it. Next week's dragons, spend all the money in the dragons, you know. And that's kind of how you do TV. And I just think there's not enough of that craft in either the Marvel TV universe at the moment or the Star Wars TV universe. Mm-hmm. So you just don't see the money that they're getting put in screen. And what's going to happen is that money's going to go down, and they will have to get better at managing with less money. And we might actually get better TV series as a result once they have that restriction on budget. Who knows?
Maybe.
Because they'll be like, well, we can't do this now. We've got to do something else. We've got to make drama, you know?
Yeah. There's money on the table. And I don't see where they course correct. Like, I just don't. We know Andor season two is it for that series, and rightly so. We don't need, you know, I'm always complaining about the time they spend between episodes 3 and 4. I'm tired of it, and that you know, I'll be happy when Andor's done, because hopefully never have to visit that era again. Although they will.
Oh, we will. The next animated show is going to be Clone Wars based, guaranteed. Or not Clone Wars based.
Rebels based.
Clone.
Yeah. So, I. What is there for next? Like, but even when they do something potentially interesting, they still screw it up by not. I know you say that there's potential in looking at the origin of the Jedi Order, you know, not necessarily the first Force user ever, but the first, you know, the beginning of the Jedi. And what are they doing? Is it going to be the first Force user or the Jedi Order? Okay, so I know there's potential in it, but it seems exactly like a Solo Star Wars story moment, where it's going to be like, we're going to check a bunch of boxes. So we're going to have the symbol being, you know, the symbol for Jedi, the proto symbol being developed and first used or seen as some bird is flying in the sky. The first freaking lightsaber being battery operated. Like, it's going to be a checkbox of a bunch of garbage. And I don't trust Mangold to write anything. Look at I'm not a Logan fan, and look at Dial of or not necessarily write, but direct as well. Look at Dial of Destiny from Indiana Jones. There's nothing to make me excited about anything coming up, because there's no goodwill. I have no trust. Liars. Nice Avengers reference, right? Man, it's a tough time to be a geek. Thank God for anime. If you're not into games or anime, you might not have a lot going on for yourself right now, given the history of Marvel and Star Wars, man.
I'm looking forward to the DCU. I like James Gunn's approach of nothing gets greenlit until there's a script that we are happy to film. Mm-hmm. That's the point. Yeah, we've got loads of things in development. The only ones that are greenlit are because we have scripts that we're happy with for those.
Yeah, I honestly think that that's exactly what needs to happen with Lucasfilm and Star Wars. Yeah,
yes.
I think it's
slow
it's
down. No scrap. More.
Well, I mean, I think they did slow down. I think they got rid of a bunch. Remember, there was what, six other projects that were in development from the last Celebration.
Man, I never believed those things and, for the last few years.
But to your point,
they were subject to the Bob Chapek, we need content for Disney Plus, though, you know. So, yeah, but, you know, a lot of this, you know, Kenobi became
more animated stuff.
A movie to that because.
And none of the movies are really. Star Wars movies have even really been taken off. I mean, Daisy Ridley has said that there's not even an official script yet for the Rey movie.
Mangold's still 2025 before.
Yeah, I mean, and Mangold's still fleshing out the only one that's kind of going on is the Grogu and Mandalorian movie. But that's not even Filoni's other movie that he said he was going to do on top of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's...
We've got Sean Levy developing a movie, but that's not been greenlit yet because he's not wrote it yet. So
I think, to your point, this is a good opportunity right now for Lucasfilm to say, pause, let's make sure we have good scripts from here on out and not just a good idea. Because Leslie Headlin had a good idea. Let's make a show about the Sith.
Yeah.
But that turned into... A disaster for fans and stuff like that. And to keep the fans of the franchise and stuff, they can't run out with Skeleton Crew is probably going to be bad. Let's just put it that way. Like the marketing for it has been very limited. They're not really they haven't really even promoted it all that.
That's
much
his fault, right? That's like in a few months, isn't it?
Yeah, but the problem is like. There's other projects have gotten. I'm not talking about like trailers and stuff like that, but they're like, there hasn't been anything really out there for a while about Skeleton Crew, and I'm talking about a long.
The thing
while.
About Skeleton Crew is it's been in the can for many months.
Yes,
it was supposed
for a while.
To come out last year, so they've been sitting on it.
Yeah, I mean, they've been working on Skeleton Crew since end of Kenobi, beginning of Ahsoka days and stuff like that. So like, that tells you something that if they're waiting this long to put it out. And stuff, it's not going to be, you know, something that we are going to be excited to talk about at all. So
they
throw it away and then just kind of work on, you know, the movies. But whatever, before you greenlight anything else or before you mention anything else, you know, I know some people think that D23 Expo, there's going to be an announcement. I don't. I really honestly think the next time we hear anything major Star Wars is not until Celebration next year in Japan. Yeah.
Not coming soon. Who was it? Screen Rant had reported 2 days ago on some rumors. I didn't see the source of the rumors, but that Skeleton Crew has been delayed again till November, December of this year. So
maybe
again, that was a Screen Rant thing.
That's what I had heard. I think somewhere that it's going to be holiday this year.
If it's really that bad, I mean, it could be the kind of possibility release where they just unload all the episodes on at one time and just say screw it, just
echo it.
Echo it, right? Just let it all rip out there and be done with it.
Well, guys, it's a shit time to be a Star Wars fan, but it is a good time to go to your used bookstores and look for some old EU books. I would highly suggest the X-Wing series, or if you want to listen to them on audiobook, they are all now on I think like Audible or whatever, and Mark Thompson
steer you
did
clear of the Darksaber book.
Yeah, stay away from Darksaber, but the original Thrawn trilogy, the Heir to the Empire trilogy, the X-Wing books, I Jedi from Mike Stackpole as well, amazing book. And I know there's fans of some of the old Jedi Order stuff and whatnot.
Old Republic stuff. Yeah.
Old Republic. There's the word I was looking for. The new Jedi Order was hit and miss. There were some really good aspects of it and some not so great aspects of it. But yeah, go check those out. Play some old Star Wars games. Go play Battlegrounds. There you go. Age of Empires, Star Wars style. Yeah, guys, be sure to check out all sorts of other great content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Anime reviews, reactions, stuff dealing with trailers, general geek, pop culture, entertainment. Podcasts go up on your favorite podcast apps. We have merch linked down below, and LRMonline.com is your one-stop shop for everything in entertainment, from celebrity interviews on the LRM YouTube channel to written reviews, news, leaks, rumors, things covering everything in geek and pop culture. And Shockey can tell you how you might be able to write for the website. Shockey, yeah. Say something about that.
Yeah, if you have any interest in contributing to LRM, shoot me an email, michael@lrmonline.com, and we can get you on there.
Cam, anything else?
Nothing I can think of off the top of my head. Check written review for this series, goes into quite depth on lrmonline.com. Currently reviewing House of the Dragon season 2 episodically, because I trust that one enough to review it episodically. So check that out if you're a fan of that series and are interested what someone else thinks of it.
There you go. All right, guys. I don't know when the next time we'll meet again, but we will eventually. And until then, may the Force be with you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.